Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. Not quite live, because this is still from CPAC, and I taped it a week before this previous Friday, which was yesterday. But still, happy to have you all listening into the program. The Silk or Joe Show is a product of the Main Street Radio Network. We appreciate their support and the First Amendment and all of that, especially since some of their clients don't like the First Amendment either. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. And we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing the show. And at mainstreetradionetwork.com, you can find podcasts of the show, previous editions of the show, but not quite unaired content like this that was taped weeks in advance, because that doesn't come out until we decide to air it. So that's why you got to tune in every week, something new every week. And we're on social media, Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show, plus the Main Street Radio Network is on various social media pages too, Facebook, Main Street Radio Network, Twitter at Main Street Radio, Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N at Main Street Radio Network. And don't forget to check out the Alan Nathan Show, which is also on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com and at AlanNathan.com. Ran through those introductions again because we actually have a guest sitting here patiently waiting for me to finish. We have John Thorman. He is a congressional candidate for Maryland's 2nd District. John Thorman, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
Good. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yep, glad to have you. So, listeners, that gave it away. This is being taped the morning of Friday, February 23rd. You're hearing this at noon, I guess March 2nd now. I don't have the date in front. But so how has your campaign looked so far?
Well, so far it looks very promising. We're getting a lot of support. And our message is getting out, and it's resonating with the people in the district.
That's good. So Maryland's 2nd District. I'm from Virginia, so of course I'm not entirely familiar with it. Is it Republican, Democrat, purple district? How's it swing usually?
Well, it has, for the last 20 years, been a Democrat seat. It's an open seat this year. Dutch Ruppersberger held that seat, and he retired this year. And since redistricting, it seems to be a little bit more favorable than it was in the past. They call it a D+7. But the people in that district are very much like middle America, a lot of the same views. And so I think that with the right conservative message presented in the right way, that there's a great opportunity to win this seat, and I'm very hopeful.
All right. So where exactly in Maryland is this district at?
The 2nd District is largely Baltimore County, about half of Carroll County, and a small piece of Baltimore City.
Okay, so that's a pretty good range of people then. I'm sure the Baltimore City portion, though, is that like where the population is mostly concentrated, or is it pretty well evenly spread out? Because when you have districts that have a strong concentration in a city, that city area usually tends to bias the rest of the district.
Right. Well, the population, it's such a small portion in the city that's not a major significant part of it. But the county goes around Baltimore City. And so there's a big part of the population in the suburbs of the city. And then in Carroll County, the population gets a little bit less dense, some farm property out there. So largely it's going to be in the center part of Baltimore County is the big part of the population.
Okay. So what are some issues that are really affecting the folks in your district in particular that you feel need some much, much better representation than they've been getting?
Well, there's a lot of things. We're facing a lot of the same problems that people are facing, primarily the high prices that still remain, even though inflation seems to be a little bit lower than it was. People are still paying a lot more than they used to at the grocery store, at the gas pump. A lot of us know that mortgage rates are higher. It's even more expensive to get an apartment than it used to be. And so, just like most people in the country, we're feeling that same thing.
Now, yeah, actually, I just read the other day that the average single-person apartment, maybe it was just in D.C., maybe it's nationwide, was $1,900 per month. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I got a three-bedroom house down in Newport News, Virginia for, you know, my mortgage, monthly insurance, and all that put together is only $1,300 or so. It's like incredible how just a single apartment in the city is so expensive relative to anywhere else.
Yeah, the big problem, really, as a result of these policies from Joe Biden, it's making it much more harder to afford to live in America. I mean, there's some places where property is a little bit less expensive, but those are traditionally sort of the less populated places.
Yeah, actually, I just had a memory flash of when I was apartment hunting back in 2014, 2015 in the D.C. area, and it was like a single-bedroom apartment, $1,100, maybe $1,200 for one that was affordable. So, like, here in the average is now 1900. That's a ton of inflation in the past year. I think that exceeds the usual inflation rate. It's almost like up 50%.
Yeah, and it's painful. I have a daughter who is, you know, was recently apartment shopping and was feeling the realities of that. So it's really difficult for, especially for young people when they're just getting started, they're in their new job, they're obviously not at their peak of income earning. And so you find a lot of people teaming up. They'll share an apartment, or they'll have a house and share a couple of rooms in their house, or some kids still have to live with their parents. Unfortunately, when I was younger, I was out when I was 18.
Yeah, and that seems to actually have caused a sort of cultural shift in the youth, who are now favoring staying with the parents, perhaps, or going for the single bedroom apartments, especially with the mortgage rates and all being astronomical. You know, just in 2021, when I got my house, not to brag, my interest rate was 2.75 or something like that. Now it's like 7 or 8%.
Yeah, and folks like you, younger folks, when they get to a certain point, when they're looking to move up, move into a different house, have their family grow and expand, it's a difficult decision. When you're in a house at a very low rate, even though you might feel like you're ready to go, that's a big decision to get out of that low monthly rate and get into something more expensive, because that changes the whole dynamic of your way of living.
Yeah, there's a lot less that you can budget, because I was renting from somebody for years. You know, I just did $800, $900 a month. So then you got to figure, and that was electricity and everything counted as well. And just, it was a huge shock going from that to first an apartment and then an actual house. It's like, wow, now instead of having all of this excess income per month, I really got to strap myself in, or pull up on my bootstraps is what I was trying to say. I was also trying to say buckle down, and just all those metaphors merged together. But the point is a lot of the youth are actually finding that unappealing now. They think, you know, valuing experience over possessions. So, you know, they'll be more inclined to stay with in their parents' house with the single-bedroom apartment, perhaps, than to get a full house. It's like the American dream has been crushed, and these high interest rates that you plan to fight are part of it.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, unfortunately, it's benefiting the parents for the kids to stay there, because the gas prices are up, the food prices are up. And that's one of the things I think would be a good message to carry into the general election, is that there is no Democrat discount for high prices. There's no Democrat discount for the high gas prices, for the high food prices. There's no Democrat discount for the high mortgage rates. So those folks are feeling the same pain as the Republican folks are in the district. And if that message is well communicated, I think there's really a great chance to flip that blue seat red.
Yeah, and there's a bit of a hurdle to that, because the media that the blue folks listen to, you know, I remember seeing a series of headlines from like 2021, 2022, 2023 from various news outlets like Washington Post, CNBC, and all that. Well, I don't remember specific which outlet said which, but like early headline was, inflation is imaginary, don't worry about it. And then it was like, inflation is happening, but it's a good thing, it's okay. And then the last one from like, I guess last year, was inflation is bad and it's your fault. It's like, they're really trying to spin it so people do not pay attention to that and somehow think the whole Bidenomics policy works.
Yeah, there's a lot of misconception, a lot of misdirection going on with that, in my opinion. The high inflation rate is a direct result of Joe Biden's policies. When we were coming out of COVID, we were coming out of the lockdowns, he went ahead and put forth more COVID spending, and then they put out the Green New Deal, which they called, what did they call that? They called that the Inflation Reduction Act, which was a lie in the title. Mm-hmm. And now actually we're just now starting to get a lot of the infrastructure money coming into the economy. So when that happened, we had a lot of money in the economy, and when you just look at the simple law of supply and demand, we had a whole lot of demand and not a lot of supply, and the interest rates skyrocketed. They were, you know, back in 2022, interest rates were about 9%. So, yes, the rate of inflation has come down, and they'll even tell you that the rate of income has gone up, but not at the same rate. The inflation rate is still higher than the growth of people's incomes. And so that's why they were still having that problem with affordability. And even though they've gotten that rate of inflation down, prices overall are still high. They're not coming down. And in fact, the administration did nothing to bring down the interest rates. It was the Federal Reserve that brought down those rates. So if we can communicate that and let people have at least an opportunity to hear a different story, I think we have a good shot at winning that seat.
Yeah, I find it interesting, too. I mean, we've got like 28 seconds left here, so I just wanted to mention it briefly and get your comment on it, is how all that stuff from the Inflation Reduction Act is coming out in an election year. Am I surprised?
Right. Well, I'm sure they're cherishing the opportunity to spend a lot of money to buy votes. Like right now, they're trying to get more, they're trying to bypass the Supreme Court to buy off people's college tuition. So they're going to keep trying to buy votes.
Well, that's John Thorman. Appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show today. And listeners, you can check him out at ThormanForMaryland.com. That's Thorman, the number 4, Maryland.com. Folks, more Silker Joe Show after this break.
Wine Country by rising country star Hannah Ellis. After 10 years of carving out her own space in Music City, the Kentucky native now introduces her debut album, That Girl, available now. Named by Rolling Stone Country as an artist to watch and a CMT Listen Up artist, Hannah Ellis has appeared on the Grand Ole Opry several times and toured with stars such as Billy Currington, Gavin DeGraw, and Carly Pearce. That Girl reveals a seasoned songwriter embracing her small-town roots, her real-life romance, and her relatable artistic voice. Hannah Ellis told us about the inspiration for the new album.
The heart of country music is storytelling. Life itself is the inspiration behind this record. Whether it's my sister's breakup, my insecurities, or falling in love, I'm just living my life with a pen and a microphone.
That Girl is now available wherever you get music. For more, visit HannahEllisMusic.com.
From debut author Carolina Ixta comes an unforgettable new young adult novel, Shut Up, This Is Serious, tells the story of two Latina girls growing up in East Oakland, who face a world full of messy complexities as they try to navigate their high school years. Belen wants the normal teen stuff, to hang out with friends, experience love, or maybe even have a boyfriend. But nothing is normal in her East Oakland community. Her father left her family. She's at risk of not graduating. And Letty, her religious best friend, is pregnant by the boyfriend she hasn't told her parents about. Weighed by a depression she can't seem to shake, Belen sees her other classmates getting ready for college. But what future is there for girls like her? Author Carolina Ixta.
Shut Up, This Is Serious deals with topics such as racism, generational trauma, and teen pregnancies, though it's also about the fierce and intimate uplifting power of friendship and chosen family.
Shut Up, This Is Serious is now available wherever books are sold.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. And once again, I'm coming to you from CPAC, but delayed broadcast. I'm sitting here live, but it's actually March 2nd, you all who are listening now, March 2nd, probably 12:20, depending on, that's the first time you'd be able to hear it anyway. And I am joined right now by two great guests who have been very patient through various scheduling snafus, probably my part because, you know, I'm very busy doing all this stuff, hosting, coordinating guests and all that at this event. It gets real chaotic. But we are joined by Mark Mix. You heard him on the Al Nathan Show a week ago from CPAC. He is president of the,
the National Right to Work Committee.
I was about to say National Labor Rights, and I knew that was wrong.
Same difference.
What happens when you don't have a bio in front of you? Because somehow I had the Al and Nathan Show script with the guest list on it, and I was going to use that, and it's not on my desktop. I don't know what I did with it, and I didn't know until a moment ago, because why would I have deleted it? But our other guest here, who is very patient, is Heidi Ganahl. I hope I pronounced that right. She is from Mom on a Mission. She was the 2022 GOP nominee for the Colorado governor race, and she's a big school choice advocate, so having a person from Right to Work and having someone who's going for school choice, we're going to stick it to the teachers' unions this segment. But how are you both doing? We'll start with Heidi. Ladies first.
Great, thank you, and yes, we are going to stick it to the teachers' unions. The way we can do that is by giving parents choice and helping them choose differently for their education, for their children. Right now, public schools are failing our kids. Very few kids can read, write, or do math at grade level. This has to go back to the parents and giving them the option and the resources to make different choices about their child's education, and then we'll see them thrive, which we do at ACE Scholarships, a large nonprofit that I'm helping out, to make sure that kids that need scholarships to go to private school to get a better option for their education can do so. And we will give out over 15,000 scholarships this year and raise over $50 million to do so. We're in 14 different states. It's a fabulous program. Check it out, ACE Scholarships. It's a great way to help kids get a better education.
Yeah, Heidi, you know, obviously the union monopoly over the government education system is a real problem for children and for parents and for taxpayers all across the country. And, you know, it's a unique privilege that this private organization, i.e. a teachers' union, has to control almost every element of the government school system. And we know, I mean, it's undeniable that allowing parents in and being involved in decision-making for their children, whether it be in the government school or private schools or schools of choice, is a very important element. I, as a father of six children, who sacrificed to put all six of our kids through school that was not attached to the government, I get your drift, and boy, I'll tell you, our family has benefited from it, and I think the country's gonna benefit from it too, because this power that union officials have to control the entire educational product, we've seen the diminishment of educational standards, educational quality, and doggone it, no one writes cursive anymore, Heidi.
That is so true. How are they going to sign paychecks? That's really important. I'm an entrepreneur also, and I've been blessed to live the American dream. I built a company called Camp Bow Wow, a dog daycare franchise, and I want every child to have that same opportunity, and I truly believe education is the key to keeping the American dream alive. But right now, like we've talked about, our schools are failing our kids. The teachers' unions are failing our kids. They're failing teachers, too. They're supposed to be the teachers' union. They're doing anything but supporting teachers. So let's give teachers other opportunities through micro schools, through homeschooling, through private schools. Let's give them opportunities to make a difference in the children's lives and give them a great education. I know so many teachers want to do that, but they're held back by the political pressure to teach certain things and to approach certain topics in the classroom that parents really aren't comfortable with. And I'm not, as a mom of four. I have one older one that went through the public school system. Now I have three little ones, twins that are 11 and a 14-year-old. I moved them out of the public school systems in Boulder County, of all places, where a lot of bad things start in the schools a few years ago. And they're thriving in a small private school and getting the attention they need to read, write, and do math. Imagine that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that you know, they cloak these policies where, like, no advanced placement courses, too many whites and Asians in it. And then in the state of Oregon, you don't need reading, writing, or math to graduate. And I'm just sitting there thinking, you know, this seems great for the unions, because it's like during the pandemic, all the unions did was try and get to the point where teachers could sit at home and get paid to do nothing. And I remember that it was in Pennsylvania and California where they were doing stuff like that. It's like the unions were actively advocating teachers don't even have to do remote work. They just sit at home and the students have something happen to them.
Yeah, as a mom, it was so frustrating. I'd watch on Zoom and try and keep them busy and up to date with what was going on, and half the time they were playing with their friends and doing other things. But I think the most important thing we can do is recognize we've got two battles on our front. It's really a red state, blue state issue right now. Unfortunately, it's political. In red states, more and more governors and legislatures are passing education savings accounts and education freedom acts so that the government dollars can go to the parents so they can make different decisions. We've got to support and go all in on this movement. It's a special moment in time to pass these bills across the country. I know there's some legislation coming in Louisiana and Tennessee, and Texas is battling it out. So anything you can do to support your local legislators in this effort would be great. ACE is just awarded the program manager position in Utah, where they passed this legislation. And we've got thousands of kids now that are going to get different choice in education in Utah because of this. And ACE is very committed to helping across the country on that front. But where they can't pass these bills, we've got to keep raising private dollars to provide scholarships to children so that they can have a different choice as well, and helping these parents out who don't have the resources to put their child in a micro school homes or homeschool them or put them in a private school. Let's get them the resources they need to do so, and let's get the teachers the opportunity to teach in those environments too, and voila, there you go.
Yeah, the biggest obstacle to any kind of education reform is the teachers' union and their monopoly over the control of the schools. And to your point, Heidi, you made a great point, their control over teachers. I mean, when you can compel someone to pay dues or fees to a union in order to get or keep a job, you've got tremendous power. And that power has manifested itself over the years. You know, it used to be that the NEA was a professional organization. Back, they had school board members and principals. And then in 1976, they changed their designation to a labor union. And from that point forward, they have played hardcore politics, and they played hardcore ideological issues, and they basically controlled the educational product. Fortunately, when you had a governor candidate in Virginia by the name of Terry McAuliffe who said parents shouldn't be involved in educational decisions, then loses the election, that's good news for mothers, fathers, children, taxpayers, and anyone who's opposed to the government union monopoly over education. Things are changing, and when we get in the way of mothers, that's when things really work, right, Heidi?
That is so true. You know, I was a mom on a mission running for governor, and the number of parents who came up and said, I'm ready to go to battle for my children and for the American dream. And we just need to galvanize those parents and give them the tools and resources and power to go up against the teachers' unions to fight these battles. And they're starting to at school board meetings, and they're speaking up online. It's a fantastic thing to see. And if we all work together, we can go up against the teachers' union and fight back against the woke ideology stuff, the CRT, the lack of learning, reading, writing, and math in the classroom, which is ridiculous. As an entrepreneur and a business owner, you know, one of the key things we need is an educated workforce. And we need an educated citizenry, too, to save this country. So it's super important that we take it one family at a time, one student at a time, to save America.
Well, we have only 30 seconds left, so I'm going to go first. Heidi, tell us where we can find out more about you.
Heidi Ganahl, HeidiGanahl.com, but also ACE Scholarships. It's a wonderful organization where you can contribute. It goes almost directly to the students and families to help them escape the public education system if they need to get a better education for these kids and give them a chance to get out of poverty and to have a great life.
All right, Mark Mix.
National Right to Work, NRTW.org. NRTW.org.
All right, listeners, thank you for both guests for being on. And listeners, thank you for tuning in today. We have more show coming up after this break.
I'm Marissa Brainy with some party hosting tips for your game day watch party in partnership with Target, my favorite one-stop shop. This year, Target's pulled together three game day spreads for under $25, a cheeseburger taco board, fun twist on a traditional, a wing basket, gotta have those wings, and a nacho bar. Love these for great finger food options that won't break the bank. If you're looking for snacks, Target's Good & Gather brand has you covered, from chips and popcorns to great dips. And in terms of drinks, you want some non-alcoholic versions as well. So think about varieties like Lagunitas, Athletic Brewing Co., and Good & Gather's sparkling water. The cherry cola flavor is a must. Don't forget Target offers same-day delivery and drive-up options, which make it really easy to stick to your list and your budget. Just head to Target.com or the Target app.
Hello, I'm Peter Castleman, and I'm the co-author of this book, Eat to Think. We come into this world with a beautiful brain. The most amazing part about the brain is it's designed to regenerate, not deteriorate. Yet, we're starting to eat foods that destroy our brains. The result is a crisis of cognition decline. 1 in 3 seniors are dying with some form of dementia. It does not have to be this way. We wrote this book, Eat to Think, because 97% of your brain health you control. And in this book is a roadmap to try to understand the brain and a path to how you improve your brain health. Go to eattothink.com, download a free version of the book, as well as other products that we can give you to help you start your journey to improve your brain health.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny, when I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean, and there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby. I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
All right, listeners, thank you for being on the Silker, listening to the Silker Joe Show today. Co-host Joe here with you all. And we are now joined by, actually, I should mention, we're still at CPAC here doing this interview a week in advance. And we are joined now by Jerron Smith. He served in several roles at the Trump White House, including Deputy Assistant to the President for Domestic Policy, Deputy Director for the Office of American Innovation, and Director of Urban Affairs and Vitalization for the White House Domestic Policy Council. Jerron Smith, happy to have you. How are you today?
Thanks for having me.
All right, so how's CPAC been for you so far?
CPAC is always amazing. You always love the energy in this place and then also the good policy conversations. And for me, being a longtime conservative, is also great networking opportunities and catching up with old colleagues on the work that they're doing today.
Yeah, you know, that's been the case for me because, you know, I email all these bookers and all these guests, talk to them over the radio, never actually see them in person except at CPAC.
Right.
Because, you know, the way we do our show, it's so decentralized. You know, I'm in Newport News. Our studio's in Dallas.
Right.
And then when we do the Al Nathan show, Alan's in West Virginia. So
right.
It's just everywhere. So what issues have you been here talking about?
So right now I'm talking about solutions to violent crime. And so I've organized a coalition of right-of-center groups that includes major city chiefs of police, as well as American Conservative Union, groups like Americans for Prosperity and Right on Crime. And we've focused on amplifying four principles, funding the police, two, allowing for the police to spend more of their time on solving and preventing violent crime, three, evidence-based policies that's been proven to solve violent crime, and four, continuing more smart on crime policies similar to President Trump's landmark First Step Act, which took a nuanced approach by focusing on recidivism that helped reduce crime.
Yeah, now, how has the Biden administration carried on that legacy of Trump trying to handle all these crime issues?
Well, they haven't really carried on the legacy at all. In fact, I think that their whole movement on defund the police has crippled police departments around the country and demoralized them. And he hasn't been great at using his platform to talk about why police are important or why some of the communities need great police departments to help protect them in areas that have had a rise in violent crime. In fact, he hasn't even really spoken about the accountability that needs to be held from certain prosecutors that aren't taking the right approach against violent criminals who are getting right back out of prison after committing heinous crimes. And that's really compromised public safety. All of these issues are fixable. When you have a strong executive similar to President Trump, then you have also local leaders that also side with him and also make that investment into our law enforcement community. And so that's part of the reason why we started the coalition to try to push back on this narrative around policing and the importance of having the best-in-class policing, but also having the best policies that's going to take a nuanced approach that protects public safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just it seems the Biden administration's approach is, versus Trump is, Trump was like, hey, let's do it all, reform sentencing and still make sure the police have what they need. The Biden administration's thing is, well, sentencing is too harsh, it's too messed up, so we're just going to be soft on crime instead. It's like they figure, and while Trump did two things at the same time, the Biden administration's like, well, we can only do one or the other, so we'll just do this one instead.
That's exactly right. You know, and then on top of that, you know, we're looking at evidence-based solutions. It also includes doing things that would prevent crime, like a robust economy, you know, access to affordable housing, access to affordable living. You know, all of these things allow for people to take more of a protection of opportunity and not want to kind of ruin a good thing if you have a robust economy. And so we also look at, you know, alternatives to crime, which was a big aspect of what President Trump was doing with his leadership. At the same time that he was amplifying public safety around the country, he was also creating a robust economy that created jobs and more opportunity for people. And so even for those individuals who came home, who were nonviolent individuals who came home from prison, they were able to kind of get opportunities in the workspace, and that also contributes to limiting crime. And so it's taking that holistic approach. You know, I wrote about it in a book that I wrote called Underserved, Harnessing Lincoln's Vision for Reconstruction for Today's Forgotten Communities. And we talk about the dynamics that are happening in underserved communities around the country, and crime being the number one piece, because if you don't have, you know, safe communities, it's hard to get economic development, it's hard to get access to education, and it's also hard to get investors to come in there and create jobs. And so that's why we've formed a coalition, because we know that if we can create safe communities, then we can also invest in other aspects that's going to give more Americans access to the American dream.
Hmm. Yeah, so what inspired you to publish that as a book? Because, you know, you had such a prominent role in the Trump administration. You probably had any number of speaking engagements you could have gotten it, but no, you went with a book so that the general public didn't have to look up for themselves or find your next speech. You just went right out and here it is. You can read it yourself.
Well, I thought it was important to tell a story of where we've been as a nation especially the dynamics post George Floyd, where you had this whole notion around black people against white people. And what we wanted to do was kind of talk about our shared opportunity, our shared prosperity. And that goes back to President Lincoln, that understood that in Reconstruction, we had to not only look at, you know, former slaves, but, you know, poor white individuals in the South, and what America was going to look like in this new era of freed slaves. And economic opportunity was a key component of that, because Lincoln grew up on a prairie. But he was never able to kind of realize that vision. And since then, we've seen politicians kick the can on the road on race relations and economic opportunity. Up until the Trump administration, had a focus on success. If you talk to President Trump about race relations, he says that, like, look, the best way to kind of deal with this issue is let everyone have a chance at the American dream and put success everywhere, and so that we can do business and stuff together and grow together. And you see that happen in economics. It brings people together in unique ways. That's why the story of capitalism needs to be told. And so the book talks about the story of capitalism, its mutual benefit, and how we can deal with some of the issues of underserved communities. And we also talk about the record that President Trump had with being very intentional, building trust in communities that weren't trusting the government before, collaborating with those communities and focusing on outcomes which we can study the data. And with that data, we can create a domino effect to deal with all the issues of those underserved communities. The real deep work that always needs to happen, that America hasn't really spent the time on. And over the last 40 years, you've seen economic mobility growth widen more and more for the middle class and lower income Americans. But that changed under President Trump, and the Republican Party changed. And so it's no longer like a country club party, but it's actually a party for the middle class and the lower income people of diverse Americans, black, white, Hispanic. It's because he focused on this economic mobility piece. And so that's some of the unfinished work. And so we wrote the book to tell the history and then talk about the unfinished work and what we can do as Americans to help partner with our elected leaders to kind of return civil society, not put all the burden on the government, and make America great again.
It actually goes to one of the arguments that I was hearing during the 2022 midterms, how, like from MSNBC or somebody, where they were talking about how, well, black voters, they're thinking, I was better off under Trump, I should probably lean toward Trump. And they're saying, well, we need to, our thing, message to them should be, democracy is more important than your economy. You're electing this fascist dictator or whatever. I don't think that's going to be a winning message, especially when they remember, oh yeah, this guy was good for us, and then under Biden, everything's been crap.
Plus, people can see right through that. It's the political messaging. Everybody knows that, like, President Trump is not anti-democratic. You know, these are all things that are kind of speculated, and that's not proven in the court of law. And it's just been a political talking point to help with a narrative. But he's been more pro-democracy than many presidents, especially being able to kind of stand up to the intelligence regime, you know, the senseless wars that we've been in almost throughout my lifetime, and taking a more pragmatic approach through the America First agenda. You know, I think that most Americans see through some of the political games that have been played on them, and the Democrats have used the playbook time again of saying that, like, hey, we're the people for low-income people, but their policies put people behind, and people are tired of that rhetoric. They want to actually invest in leaders that's actually going to actually put up numbers that's going to improve their life. And so that's what the American people are seeing. There's American people are seeing that, like, hey, life was better under Trump. You know, I felt like what you see is what you get. It was no BS, you know, or blowing smoke just to get my vote. But someone who was actually delivering, you know, safer border, safer communities, more economic opportunity, more affordability. And then more importantly, you know, a better opportunity for me and my family. And I think that's where people want their elected leaders to kind of be able to show up, you know, to get government out the way, to allow for the unleashing of American opportunity and growth like we've never seen before.
Yeah, well, actually, we have 20 seconds left here, so there goes my point that I was about to make. But give us your book one more time.
Underserved, Harnessing Lincoln's Vision for Reconstruction for Today's Forgotten Community.
Where can we get a copy?
You can get that on Amazon. If you just look up Underserved, it might be the first book that comes up.
All right, listeners, and the author was Jerron Smith, and we appreciate him being on the Silk Road Show, which we have more of coming up after this break, so stick with us.
Thanks so much.
According to iStock's visual GPS research, over 75% of people globally are already using some form of AI technology in their day-to-day work. Grant Farhall, Chief Product Officer at iStock, says when using AI, it's all about creating meaningful connections with your audience.
Our own research shows that over 40% of small and mid-sized businesses are using AI-generated content for marketing purposes. Generative AI tools can help businesses create those important connections that drive long-term value if done correctly.
iStock by Getty Images has released a new tool, Generative AI by iStock, which allows businesses to safely turn their creative vision into powerful content.
Generative AI by iStock empowers you to create compelling visuals to engage your audience. You can explore using AI with confidence by creating images and then downloading them with a commercial license and iStock's standard legal indemnification.
For more, visit ai.istockphoto.com/ITT.
A charming new children's book about a young girl in Jamaica who loves fixing cars with her granddad arrives today. The Blue Pickup by Natasha Triplett is a heartwarming layered story featuring beautiful illustrations by Monica Mackay. The Blue Pickup tells the story of Jew Girl, whose favorite days are spent with her granddad in his garage, fixing cars and hearing stories about his old blue pickup. Granddad used to drive the blue pickup all over the island, bringing happiness to many, but now it just sits in the driveway. One day, Jew Girl asked Granddad if he'd ever fix it, and he's unsure at first, but the pair soon finds out just what it takes to restore the memory of the blue pickup and to create new stories along the way. Author Natasha Triplett.
This book is about the joy of repairing things with our hands and preserving stories with our hearts. I hope it inspires young readers to find the right tools that allow them to take pride in hard work.
The new children's book, The Blue Pickup, is now available wherever books are sold.
Hi, I'm Catherine Judah Chilo. I have three wonderful children with my husband, Sean, who I met on the 17th season of The Bachelor. At just 5 months old, our son, Isaiah, became sick and spent 4 days in the hospital. At first, my husband and I thought he had a common cold, but it turned out to be much more serious. It was respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. RSV is the number one reason why babies are hospitalized. I'm sharing my story so other parents can learn about the importance of helping protect their babies from RSV when they are most vulnerable to it. If you are pregnant or plan on becoming pregnant, speak to your OBGYN or healthcare provider about the risks of RSV. As a mother, I've seen a lot of warning labels, from choking hazards to baby toys, and I wish RSV came with one. To learn more, visit www.bewareofrsv.com. That's www.bewareofrsv.com. This message is brought to you by Pfizer.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Again, thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. Again, coming to you live from CPAC, and I say live because I'm sitting here on my butt in person, and Mike Lindell just walked by. Recognize that hairstyle and mustache anywhere, but he didn't pop out of my mirror this morning to offer a pillow, so I'm a little disappointed. Anyway, we are sitting here with Alexandra Levine. Appreciate her being on the program. Alexandra, how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so tell us about yourself here.
Sure. So I am a national faith leader for President Trump, as well as a Jewish liaison.
All right. And now you had something to do with the Abraham Accord as well, right?
Yes, I did. So I, as a national faith leader for President Trump, I was on every single conference call in regards to faith and regards to the Abraham Accords negotiations. And it was great to hear, what Jason Greenblatt and what Jared Kushner were doing in that process with former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Peter Navarro, and others. And because of President Trump, Jewish people can now go to UAE, Sudan, and Bahrain.
Hmm. That's amazing, but how does it feel now with the Biden administration in office and like seemingly everything that you all strove for, that peace that you had achieved? It's like they said that the big boys are back in the room, the smart people, the good policymakers, the adults is the word I was fumbling around for. They said the adults are back. They really seem to have screwed the, fumbled the ball here on this one.
And I agree with you on that. And the Secretary of State right now, his name is Anthony Blinken. He is Jewish, but we say hashtag not my pure Jew because he is going against the Jewish people, going against the biggest ally, Israel. He's telling Israel to stand down. Joe Biden's telling Bibi Netanyahu to stand down. He called him an effing a-hole many times recently. I mean, he does not care about our biggest ally, Israel. And actually, Anthony Blinken, he removed the name Abraham Accords. He said it was too biblical.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and we also have a DHS secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, who's also Jewish. Again, he's hashtag not my pure Jew, hashtag not a real Jew. And what he's doing with the southern border by keeping it open is he's allowing pockets of Hamas to enter our border illegally. And Mossad, which is the Israeli CIA/FBI, have confirmed that by continuing to keep the southern border open, you're opening up the vacuum to terrorists in your country.
Now, the first thing, because there's two things I want to get to from that. The first one, though, is renaming the Abraham Accords. I do not understand that because Abraham is part of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity.
Correct.
It's like the least offensive name you could come up with for those three big religions.
Correct. And you know what's sad is that in the halls of Congress, when you look straight up at it, you see a statue of Moses. So people are very scared. Are they going to remove that too? I mean, that's kind of like where we're headed, especially with the squad. That's why we have to remove any lawmaker that does not support Israel. And I encourage the entire Jewish community to hashtag Jexit the Democratic Party, stop voting Democrat, and vote for President Trump, vote Republican, vote for a person that represents you and will always stand with you.
Yeah, and it just seems that'd be an uphill battle because I remember seeing a poll the other day. It was like the Jewish population in the United States, majority, like two-thirds just about, votes Democrat.
A lot of it is unfortunately generational. A lot of people are not educated. They don't understand that the Democratic Party of FDR, Harry Truman, and JFK no longer exists. This new Democratic Party is very far left, and they do not have Israel's best interests at heart. That's why the education needs to start at home, and parents really need to educate their kids on Judeo-Christian values. That's why President Trump needs to go back into the White House to make Judeo-Christian values great again.
Very well put. And the other point I wanted to get to as well, because I turned down my microphone instead of the one that isn't being used, because I'm smart like that and I know how this control board here works, is the stuff that you mentioned about the southern border, Hamas coming across the southern border and all that. Because I remember a couple of weeks ago I talked about on the show that there was this reporter who found out about Hamas training camps right across the Rio Grande. And when she reported on it, the FBI came to her. They just wanted her sources. They didn't care about the that there was a camp there. I guess it's long since vacated, and like it was like running from 2021 to 2022. But the FBI didn't care about that. Didn't care who might be in the country. They just wanted to know who this niche was.
Yeah, and it's very, very, very sad. I mean, America has had a treaty with the United States since 1948. Israel provides central intelligence to the United States by the Mossad telling DHS and and our government, FBI, CIA, our FBI, our CIA, etc., that you have illegals, Syrian refugees, illegal Afghan refugees, terrorists coming through our country, and the Biden administration and so forth isn't doing anything about it. That's a slap in the face to what Israel provides for America, and that's why we need President Trump back in the White House.
Yeah, and it just seems to be this big irony, too, between the Jewish population supporting the Democrats and the Democrats allowing these open borders, all these anti-Semitic forces into the country, and then saying, well, you're an intolerant bigot if you don't agree with these anti-Semites we're bringing in.
A lot of it is pay to play. Unfortunately, we have a man named George Soros who is the puppet master. He's controlling all the money that is going to these different pro-Hamas groups. As we know, George Soros funded BLM. It's the same thing. So, and BLM came out in support of Hamas, of course, because that's George Soros. And it's infiltrating our schools. It's infiltrating our elementary, middle school, high schools, and colleges. That is my job, to combat that, to instead of having pro-Hamas rallies, have pro-Israel rallies, and working with groups that support Israel to combat these pro-Hamas groups.
And if I had a producer and studio, and if I wasn't just recording this on my own, going into business for myself here to air later in the week, I'd play for you a clip that I had gotten for the Alan Nathan Show of students in a high school out in California somewhere sounding from the river to the sea and all that stuff, like the genocidal call for wiping out Israel off the face of the earth. That's in our high schools, and it's also in our colleges. It's been in our colleges for a while, that whole boycott, divest movement, whatever. We just seem to have been ignoring it, thinking it would go away or these people were radicals, but now those radicals, just did the air quotes there, people on radio can't see that, the radicals are in the government.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct. And they're plants. Mm-hmm. They're all plants. I mean, we see Congresswoman Ilhan Omar say Somali first. I mean, she should be removed from office. I mean, they removed George Santos. I mean, we found out that Rashida Tlaib is being funded by Hamas. She's being funded by terrorists.
Wow.
So why would we keep those people in our government? Because, and the more that they're in our government, the more anti-Semitism rises in this country.
Yeah, and then the one side they say that, then now the other side, you have them saying, oh, well, we're for the Jews, and it's actually the Republicans that are the Nazis trying out to get you. But, like, the closest equivalent to the modern Nazis, ethno-nationalists that hate the Jewish people, are the Palestinians.
Right. And I'm dealing that with here in Annapolis. They have the Attorney General has an anti-hate commission, and he has CARE on the anti-hate commission. So I testified recently to remove CARE permanently from the anti-hate commission. I hope the bill passes. The fact that CARE was ever even a thought to be put on an anti-hate commission just baffles me.
Well, we have about 10 seconds. Where can we find out more about you?
Sir, Alexandra Levine on Facebook, Twitter at Alexandra, LEVI20, and Instagram at ARLevine85.
All right, listeners, you can go check her out. Our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.